Alhamdulillah.
Love Talk Radio.
Praise be to Allah, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah. We want to welcome you to our Jummah today by saying to you, Assalamu alaikum. We are in Los Angeles, California, in the Watts area. My name is Muhammad Khatib. I am the Grand Sheikh in culture in the Western region. And I want to share with you today our Jummah. It's part of our worship to Allah. And we are commanded to attend the Jummah no matter where we are in the world. And all of the Muslims collect themselves and we stop everything we're doing and we go to the Jummah services. We thank Allah for the opportunity to do the Jummah. So we're going to call the second adhan, which is a part of the procedure for Jummah. We're going to call the second adhan and go ahead and get started on the Jummah. And today we're going to be reading the Quran as well as talking a little bit about the attributes or names of our Lord Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So we'll go ahead and call the adhan and get started.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alas salah. حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
We need to set up a little bit of our Alhamdulillah. Again, dear beloved brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. And this is our Jummah services in Los Angeles, California. I want to express our appreciation to the Blog Talk Radio for sponsoring our Jummah, carrying our message out across the airways. We're indeed grateful and appreciative. And we're very humbled by the opportunity to reach as many people as possible through the internet radios, internet radio stations. So praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We're going to get started by saying, Alhamdulillah, Ahmaduhu, Astainahu, Astahdihi, Astaghfiruhu, Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Wahdahu la sharika lahu, Wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We want to welcome all of you who have joined us at the Jummah, who are present, and those of you who are listening in on the radio, and those of you who are on our telephone broadcast. We have people who listen in on the telephone broadcast, too. So first we want to just translate a little of what we said, and we said, I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise Allah. We seek his aid, his guidance, his forgiveness. We bear witness openly that there is no one and nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. We bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his servant and his messenger. As we promised, we want to read a little bit of the Quran here. We thank Allah for guiding us, and we hope that this, what we read in the Quran, that our talk and our notes today will combine and blend in such a way that our message will reach you and that you will benefit, that your life will benefit from hearing what we have to say. in the praise that we give to Allah and the recognition that we give to this great mission and the messenger that he has given us in Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, the message that he has given us so that we can be successful in life, and the great blessing that we have in this way of life called Al-Islam. So brothers and sisters, please listen intently or attentively so that you can hear what we're talking about, and hopefully you'll get enough out of the Jummah. Allah has made this to enrich us, so hopefully you'll get enough out of the Jummah to where your life will be benefited from what we're talking about. We're going to read in the Holy Quran, and we're going to read from chapter 29, and the verse we want to start with, I'll read a little series of verses. The verse we want to start with is verse 31. And Allah has blessed us to read, be able to read Arabic. But I want to read a little Arabic, and the rest I'll do in the English, just so we can carry along with our speed for today. And we're not doing it to hurry things up, but we're doing it to make it easy. And Allah has said in the Quran that He has made this religion easy for all of us. And we know that it's easier for us to understand English than it is to understand Arabic. And we want to work very, very hard to learn the Arabic, because we know that the Quran was revealed in Arabic. It was revealed to the Arab messenger, or messenger Muhammad, who was, peace be upon him, who was an Arab. And inside of the revelation that Allah sent to Muhammad is the direction for us. The highest direction. The highest direction is not in the English or the Spanish or the French or whatever, Swahili, whatever it is. The highest medicine for us and direction for us, guidance for us, mercy for us, is in the Arabic. Allah says of the Quran, it says of the revelation, these are Allah's own words. He says that He has given in the Quran a direction for us. Direction for us. He has put in the Quran guidance for us. He has put healing in it for us, as well as mercy for us. So we are completely blessed, completely blessed, completely guided, the best guidance. We're safe, and we're being healed every time we recite from the Quran, the Arabic of the Quran, not the English translation. That's not as guiding. That's not as exact. That doesn't carry the medicine that the Quran carries when it is recited in the sounds that it was recited in or revealed in, which is Arabic. So we want to learn the Arabic so we can get those extra, extra blessings, so we can return to the original nature that our Lord Allah created us in and wants us to be in. Allah's divine will or blessing is the reason that we exist. So we want to stay in that blessing by reciting the Quran in the voice or in the words that Allah revealed it in, which are His own words, alhamdulillah. So chapter 29, verse 31 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب زدني علما. We always say that before we read the Quran, which is, I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, with Allah's name, the most merciful, the most gracious, and the most merciful. And my Lord, we're saying, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Increase me in knowledge. And Allah has promised this. Allah has promised this to us, that He would increase us, that He would strengthen us, that He would guide us, and He would help us. And we're going to go ahead and read. ولما جاءت رسلنا إبراهيم ببشرى قالوا إنا مهلكو أهل هذه القريات إن أهلها كانوا ظالمين. And that verse 31, translated in English by A. Yusuf Ali, says, when our messengers came to Abraham with the good news, they said, "We are indeed going to destroy the people of this township, for truly they are addicted to crime." 32 says, "Qala inna fiha lutan qalu nahnu ahlamu biman fiha la nunajinahu wa ahlahu illa amra'atah kanat min al-ghabirin." And the second verse says, this is verse 32, he said, "But there is Lot there," or Lut, "there's Lut," that's another prophet, peace be upon him, and peace be upon Abraham. He said, "But there's Lut there in that township." They said, "Well do we know who is there. We will certainly save him and his following, except his wife. She is of those who lag behind." And 33 says, "And when our messengers came to Lut, he was grieved on their account. He felt himself powerless to protect them. But they said, fear thou not, nor grieve. We are here to save you and your following, except your wife. She is of those who lag behind." 34 says, "For we are going to bring down on the people of this township a punishment from heaven, because they have been wickedly rebellious." 35 says, "And we have left thereof an evident sign for any people who care to understand." So we have we are talking about these prophets, and we are relating to you something of their story, of their truth, of their history. These are real historic facts where Allah is saying that he sent angels to Abraham and they were telling Abraham some very, very good news. And the good news that they were telling Abraham, and I hope you're listening, is that they are going to destroy or kill the bad people. They were going to kill these wicked people because they were addicted to crime. Now, doesn't that sound a lot like a lot of places in the world today? There are a lot of towns, a lot of cities, whole cities in societies that sponsor the worst kind of lust and nudity and promote sexuality to the extreme and have whole industries devoted to promoting lust and promoting filth and promoting corruption, promoting homosexuality. Songs sung by homosexuals talking about their love for someone of the same sex as them. Whole towns that are addicted to crime. Whole cities that are addicted to gambling and the promotion of gambling. Allah says that gambling is an abomination. Intoxicants, there's whole towns that make bourbon and whiskeys and wines and whole states and areas of the state that are devoted to making the wines, and companies and industries that are devoted to tobacco products that are destroying the health of human beings, and criminals of the worst sort who grow and harvest and process drugs, package up drugs, distribute drugs throughout the world, that are destroying. They are the worst chemicals that you could put with your own chemicals. Allah made you naturally. Allah gave you a chemistry, your own chemistry, when you were born. Blessed to come to you through your father and mother and grandparents and great-grandparents and on all the way back. We are part and parcel of the natural chemical makeup of the whole creation, the whole world, the whole creation. But here you got criminals that put poisons together to disrupt your thinking, to disrupt your health, to disrupt your equilibrium, to disrupt your psychological well-being, your psychological ability, your psychological well-being, to destroy your balance and to make you sick and crazy. You got industries, I call them industries of destruction. They're industries of corruption and destruction, and they are interfering with the natural flow of humanity, the natural flow of society. They are robbing the society of manpower. They are robbing the society of work hours. They're robbing the society of health and strength and security. Don't you know when you're sleeping or you're dozing or you're confused or you're not 100% in your mind that you are nothing but a target for evil people? You're nothing but a target. You're easy prey for wrongdoers, easy prey for corrupt people and corrupt countries. There are countries in the world that have so much vice, so much crime going on, that they actually are looking to make you a victim. If they think that you are not paying attention, if they think that you cannot defend yourself, that you have no security or sense of how to defend yourself and look out for yourself and guard, protect yourself and your family and your property, they will attack you in a heartbeat. Yes, they will attack you and they will try to destroy you. They will take you over, and if they need you, they will enslave you. If they don't need you, then they'll just kill you outright. The people of many countries, including many African countries, have suffered these attacks, these indignities, have suffered from the wickedness of other people. So what we want to do in the Juma is to bring you up and keep you awake, encourage you to value your life so that you can defend yourself, you can protect yourself, you can save yourself. Allah revealed religion, He revealed revelation for that very goal, which is for you to maintain yourself and keep yourself awake, keep yourself right, keep yourself healthy and sensible and intelligent and productive, able to do all kinds of good things, able to enjoy the life that He has given to you. You have that right straight from your Creator to appreciate, enjoy, use, utilize, build up the good life that He has given you. You can only do that if you stay inside of your natural chemistry. Stay inside of your natural thinking. Stay inside of and appreciate and value and use all of what you have that is capable of you being of being used by you. I hope that makes sense, brothers and sisters. We're going to go over a few of the attributes of Allah just to talk about His power. And then we're going to get into some of the khutbah for today, or the speech or the lecture for today, and give us some life-giving teachings. Hopefully give us some life-giving teachings from some of the statements that I prepared that I hope will, for you, highlight some of the things we go through, some of the things we see, some of the things that are very threatening to us, and hopefully will help arm you against everyday life in the society we live in, where, like I mentioned to you, so many poisonous things and detrimental or harmful things are coming at you each and every day, 24 hours a day. The wrongdoers want to make like they are in charge of your life and your day. Allah gave you the 24 hours. And Allah wants you to use the 24 hours to the best of your ability. One of our listeners is in real estate. I used to be in it myself. And in real estate, one of the big statements that's so beautiful, and it's really true to nature, true to life, is to be able to use the property to the highest and best use that you can. To use the property to the highest and best use that you can. Now, if you're going to do that for a house or some piece of land, why wouldn't you do that for your own life? The farmer wants to do that and give you the best products, the best produce, the best apples or cherries or whatever it is from the orchards, the best almonds. The farmers want to do that and bring forth the healthiest cattle or the healthiest, they have a fish farm, bring forth the healthiest food for consumption. But why wouldn't you use your life to the highest use, the best use that you can? Even if you're only able to live, I see people, and I saw somebody on the news the other day, his arm had been severely injured in a car accident. And then I saw another person who didn't have his legs well formed when he was born. But none of them were saying, I can't make it. None of them were saying, I can't hack it. None of them were saying, oh, I'm going to give up. No, they were using their whatever, 50% of their capacity at 100%. They were using that 75% of their time in their life that they could muster up to use. They were using that at 100%. But look at the people who have 100% of everything, and they only produce 10% output. 100%, their arms, their legs, their mind, their muscles, everything works, but they're so lazy or so negligent. The losses really watch it because too many people were destroyed because they were negligent. They were negligent of their duty. And because they wouldn't think right, Allah said they would not think deeply. They would not consider all of what they have at their disposal and then use it 100%. So if I was only a 50% person or a 60% ability to do something, to think or to get around or whatever, I want to push myself and exert myself until I'm doing 100% of whatever I have to use. So we're going to say a few of the attributes of Allah and talk about some of the blessings that Allah gives us when He reminds us of Himself, when He reminds us of His powers and His great, awesome blessedness that He gives us. So one of the things we know about Allah is that He is Ar-Rahim, that He is the most merciful. And that He is Ar-Rahman, He's so gracious to us. And that He is Al-Qawi, He's so strong. And that He is Al-Azim, that He is so mighty and inaccessible. That He is just all-powerful. And then we know that Allah knows everything. Al-Alim, He knows everything. He is Ar-Raqib, He's watching. He's watching everything that we do. Al-Basir, He sees all. Al-Asami, He hears everything. Allah is so gracious to us, and He is the overseer. Al-Muqit, He sees everything. Al-Muqit. Al-Jalil, He's so glorious. And Allah responds to us. Al-Mujib, He responds to us. When we call on Him, when we pray to Allah and ask Allah, Allah says He answers prayers. Allah is the one who is always alive, Al-Hayy. Allah is not flesh. He doesn't live and die. Allah is and He always will be. And some people might say, well, where did Allah come from? There are some things that are a mystery to us, brothers and sisters. Allah said He has always existed. What you want to be involved in is where do you come from and what are you going to do with what you've been given? And don't be discouraged because you don't hear or know all the answers. No one in the creation knows everything except Allah. And Allah knows everything in the creation and He knows everything outside of the creation. He is the creator of whatever He wills.
So Allah is al-hayy, and he, which means the alive, and Allah is the giver of life, al-muhyi, the giver of life or the quickener of life. The one who says be, and then it becomes. He's the quickener of life. Allah is the one who will give death too, al-mumit. He'll give death. But he himself, he never dies. He's the ever-living. He's eternal. He is the ever-living. So that is al-qayyum, al-qayyum. He is eternal. He's the ever-living. Allah sees everything. He knows everything. Allah hears everything. Allah is with you all the time. There's never a time or place when Allah is absent. He is our creator, and he is the very loving. He is Rabbil Alameen and Al-Wudud, Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud, he's the very loving. Al-Rab, that he is the one who watches over your development. He cherishes and sustains you like a good mother, but better than a mother. Because that nature that the mother has, that wonderful love that you have from your mother, that comes from Allah. And Allah, he charges every being with these great attributes that he has, some more than others. Some talents, skills, abilities he gives to some more than others. There's a variety of all of these things. But everything that exists comes from Allah. The only thing Allah does not want for you is wickedness or evil. Satan wants wickedness and evil for you. This is why we have so many problems in society, is because instead of obeying Allah and celebrating our goodness and our usefulness and celebrating the fact that we have a wonderful life and so much mercy and so much help, so much guidance. Allah is the guide, Al-Hadi. That we have so much strength and power. Allah is Al-Mateen, he's unbreakable. Al-Kawi, he's all strong. Al-Qadr, he's powerful, all powerful. Al-Ali, he's high and lofty. Al-Muta'ali, that he is exalted, the exalted. Instead of us celebrating all of these wonderful things, these perfect things, these divine things that Allah gives us, we listen to the evil, we listen to the low thing, we listen to the dark and confusing thing, we listen to the lies and the falsehood, and that's what makes us fail. So Allah is not ordering evil or oppression or falsehood or wickedness for us. Allah orders only the best things for us. He orders the light, which can be transcribed as the understanding, the sight, the knowledge. You know, light is the reason you can get knowledge is because you can see. The sight, the illuminated mind, all these things can be translated as light. Good spirit, you know, health, decency, honor, respect, good manners, good logic, the rational mind is working right. All these things are translated as light and skill, ability, help, power. So let us love Allah and respect Allah and obey Allah. Let us pray to Allah and worship Allah sincerely for all of what he does for us. And let us be of those who, when it comes to Satan, let us turn away from Satan. Let us disobey Satan. Let us attack Satan. All praises to Allah. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the notes that we brought today for our meeting. And I like to call them the Khutbah papers, the Khutbah papers. And one of the things that we wanted to say today, people might ask me, the day's September 21st, by the way. People ask me, why do I curse the devil all the time? Well, Allah says of Satan, he says that Allah says that he lets every good person and every good entity, anyone entitled to curse, and you're only entitled to curse them if you're a good person or a good entity. Allah says he sends curses on Satan because Satan is wicked and he wants to harm the creation of Allah. He wants to harm mankind. He wants to bring mankind down. So it's okay for us to curse devils. And the reason we do it is so I can bring you closer. We can bring you closer to Allah. and we want to get you as far away from Satan as possible. We want to get you as far away from Satan as possible, so we curse him and we talk bad about him and we expose his evil and how he comes at people and how he tries to bring us down. So we curse Satan. But we want to get you nearer and closer in thinking about Allah and Allah's mercy and forgiveness and help, how Allah opens up the good life for you. Every Jummah, every talk from righteous people and every reading of the Quran, all of those things are an assault on Satan. Every prayer, every dhikr, which means a remembrance of Allah. Every time you just think about Allah, alhamdulillah, thank Allah for saving me. Praise be to you, Allah. Thank you, Allah, for this guidance. Thank you for this food or this gift. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my family. Thank you for a good life. Thank you for giving me the strength to do what's right and to think rightly. Thank you, Allah. All of that, that's an assault on Satan. He doesn't want you thinking rightly and thanking Allah for the good things that you have in your life. But brothers and sisters, we are to run to Allah in his mercy. We are to run to Allah and his mercy, and we are to run to self-improvement. Allah loves us. We are to run to Allah, and we are to run to his mercy, and we are actually running to improvement. We've got to start respecting what Allah has given us. We've got to start loving Allah, and we've got to start loving his messenger, who is the example of how to be the best human being. How to be the best human being. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, was the best human being that ever lived, and his model of how to live the best life as a human being is perfect. His model is perfect. All we have to do is follow it. We have to love Allah. We have to love the Prophet's example. We love him for his example and for his strength and for his obedience to Allah, to where he completely fulfilled the mission that Allah gave him. And then we have to love ourselves if we're following that. If we're following the Prophet, if we're following what he taught, if we're following the Quran, if we're making our prayers, we have to love ourselves. We have to respect ourselves. We have to appreciate ourselves for doing what's right. And we have to see ourselves as those who are being saved. Who cares what the world is talking about? Because they will never tell you you're good or that you're good enough or that you should be in charge. Allah says that we, the believers, will be the inheritors of the whole earth. We will inherit ourselves first. And Prophet Isa, or Jesus as the world calls him, he said the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Allah, is inside of you. He said the kingdom is within you. So if you're obeying Allah and you've stuffed yourself with all the good things, you got the kingdom of Allah in you. You have the kingdom of Almighty God inside of you. And you have to appreciate that fact, brothers and sisters. And you have to guard that life, guard yourself. So starting with yourself, you have inherited the earth. Your flesh is actually earth. And your knowledge is of the earth. Whatever Allah gave you, he put it in the earth through Adam. And that process has continued and continued and continued. We advance from the goodness that Allah has put in the earth. And we advance from the goodness that Allah has put in those earthly men who came and taught Allah's heavenly knowledge. Isn't that beautiful? We're heaven people, we're earthly people who are full of heaven knowledge. Allah taught our father Adam everything that Allah wanted him to know. Taught him the names of everything. Taught him the nature of everything. And we are continuing inheritors as the children of Adam. So we have to start loving ourselves and respecting ourselves. And we grow out, we go out and grow out from ourselves, and we begin to spread this message. You're talking about, they say Jesus loved the world, where we the Muslims are the real Jesuses, and we really do love the world, we really do love our work, we really do love Allah, and we really do work to perform to the best of our ability what Allah has given us. And we are doing it. You know, there are people on the earth, speaking of love, there are people who have been loving their kind for generations. Even if they've been wrongdoers, they have been loving and protecting and helping their generation helping themselves and helping each other for generations. Let us start doing that. You know, when I say us, in one sense, I'm talking about the people of Africa, the people of African descent who especially live in America. Every generation and all during the generations, they're constantly bombarding us with interference. And the Quran calls it tumult. Tumult and oppression. Tumult is an aggravation or agitation, a disturbance of your mind, your mental house, your mental environment, constantly keeping you scared and worried and nervous and oppressed. Allah says in the Quran, tumult and oppression are worse than slaughter. Tumult and oppression are worse than being killed outright. They would have did us a favor if they had just killed us rather than disturbing us. But Allah's will be done, and Allah led us and protected us all through all that trauma and all that oppression, all that disturbance and all that abuse, and let us make it to today. You know what we should be doing with today, brothers and sisters, after escaping the chains and escaping the horror, the psychological horrors of this society? We should make sure that we become the masters now, that we become the geniuses, that we become the leaders, that we become the thinkers, that we become the doers, that we become the ones in charge now. We should be the new leadership. That's how we should see ourselves. That's how Allah sees you. I'm here to tell you that's how Allah sees you. Allah says if you obey Him, if you obey Him, if you associate no partners with Him, if you obey Him alone, if you worship Him alone, He said He will make you the leader of the whole earth. It is He who has made you the inheriting, His inheriting agent of the earth. Now, when you get to believe that, you will see yourself grow by leaps and bounds. You will see the fear just drop off. You will see the worry and the stress just die. But as long as you think somebody else is in charge of you, that you have to obey another race or another color, you have to obey them, you have to do what they want you to do, that you have to be all worried about them suffering harm, and you keep on taking harm from them. You in love with people and want to help people and slaving for people who hate you or want you to be underneath their feet, want you to be their lap dog or their whipping boy. I know sisters that pay money and go and buy the hair of their oppressor. Pay money, hundreds of dollars, and I think some of those wigs cost thousands of dollars. Incidentally, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, told the Muslim women do not wear wigs. In fact, don't wear anything false. Do not wear false. So why are you out here? If you're a Muslim, I know I'm not talking to Muslims. I know I'm not talking to the believers, because the believing Muslims will do what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said and what the Holy Quran says. The believing Muslims will obey. But we have people who have suffered these hundreds of years, and they're still out here wanting to look like the oppressors and the oppressors' kind that gave them so much hell for these hundreds of years. Go and when they get their hands on some money, they go and spend hundreds of dollars, and the cheap ones is $30, $40, $50. But the people that's got the money, you've got enough money to where you don't have to be under anyone. Why are you still buying a hair and hair pieces that make you look like the oppressor's people? Because you're still oppressed. You're still a psychological slave. And you're just so happy to be able to have your hair look like the hair of people who have nothing to do with your creation or your nature. You are buying hair that actually identifies you as having stepped outside of your nature and your naturalness. You're buying the hair of a whole nother group of people or a whole nother race or whatever, and you're putting it on your head like Allah gave you that hair when He didn't. if you wash your hair and put oil in it and brush it, it'll be just fine, and you'll be just the way Allah made you. The Chinese is not running around looking for the hair of the African people. Nobody on the earth is running around looking for the hair of other people as a psychological problem in their head, except the people of Africa who have been told that they're ugly, who've been told that that their oppressor is so beautiful, and that to look like the oppressor is the epitome of beauty, is the highest of height, is the greatest thing you could be doing, is to copy or try to clone yourself to look like the oppressor. And you go and you buy contact lenses that have his eye color when nobody of your race or it's not even normal for anyone of your race to have lighter skin or lighter eyes unless he's albino or something like that, some trait that come from who knows where. But no, you got thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, hundreds of millions of your kind that would prefer to look like the one who has caused them more problems historically than all of the volcanoes, all of the floods, all of the forest fires, and all of the wars combined. Yeah, fewer people have been killed in wars and floods and fires than who by purpose want to look like and imitate their voice, whatever, of their oppressor, who they know deep in their hearts hates them or don't appreciate them or want to look down on them or step on them. The oppressor, whose very religion tells them that white or light is better than dark, which means goodness is better than evil. It doesn't mean white skin is better than dark skin. Because if you were to say, if you were to aptly or correctly apply behavior according to skin color, you would have to say that the white man is the devil and the black man is more akin to God or related to God's behavior, God's purpose. And everybody goes into shock when you say the white man is the devil. No, his white skin is not the devil, but historically his behavior, the behavior of people who have white or whitened skin, lighter skin, or who are of the European people or the northern people of mankind, they have historically been more warlike, more oppressive, more enslaving, more brutal, more murderous, more crazy than anybody. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to wake way up. It's time for us to grow up and realize that we have a lot of growing to do, that we have a lot of we have to make a transition back into the best of ourselves. When the Europeans came down to Africa, they weren't saying, let me go and capture people just because they're devils. They were looking for people to work. So they weren't even coming at you in the sense of you're wicked because of your color. That came later when their philosophers and their so-called religious people and their wicked devils said, when they looked into Bible, they said, light must mean our skin, or let's let it mean our skin. And these are the wicked old philosophers and the wicked wizards who are diabolical, and diabolical means evil and wicked. These are friends of Satan. These are Satan's people, and this is Satan's mentality that he has put in other people. So when they looked in their religious book, they said, let's let the white mean our white skin, that we're heavenly and good and all that, and let's let the dark and the darkness and the black mean that the black people are no good. And when they got us to believe in that doctrine, or when they started promoting that lie, then you know what happened? What happened was they didn't have to chain you no more, because they had convinced you that you belong as a dark-skinned person, that you belong down, and they had convinced you that as a white-skinned person, they belong up. And what they really were promoting against you was fear. You had suffered so much at the hands of the white or the light-skinned people, the northern people, the European people, that their force, their power, their armies had terrified you, and you saw no way of escape or fighting back. And so that's really why, deep in your soul, you're still afraid of them, or you worry, or you won't get up and do more for yourself. But part of it is that they said that God wants this situation. He wants the situation where the lighter and the whiter is seen as beautiful and glorious and salvation in heaven. And the dark, the confused, the black, the skin, they put it on the skin level. And they said, you belong down there with the devil. You can go in the bakery and eat devil food cake and angel food cake. And the devil food cake is not black. It's the same color as the average West African, a chocolate brown. And the white, or the angel food cake, it's anywhere from white to a light yellow angel food with white icing on the outside. And some people may say, well, what's this got to do with Juma? What's this got to do with, we are trying to wake up your mind. We're trying to help you bring forth a healthy understanding of what's going on in your life and give you an opportunity to make better choices so you can do more for yourself and get control of your own life so that you can actually be one who says so, who has say-so over the heaven that Allah intends to be in you, and that you will have an opportunity to be the vicegerent or the caretaker, the inheritor, the inheriting agent of the whole earth. Bible and the Holy Quran says, my servants the righteous shall inherit the earth. My servants the righteous shall inherit the earth. You got to believe that, brothers and sisters. You've got to believe that. So we want you to begin to love each other, love your generation of Muslims. Love each other so that you'll have 3, 4, 5, 6 solid generations of people who care for each other and help each other. Don't you know we don't have any 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 generations, solid generations of people who pass down love for each other and help for each other and unity, working together for each other? We don't have that. Whereas some other people, and the Jews claim that they've had that all the time. Very few people have been disturbed for any length of time the way that the people of Africa have been disturbed. So much so that when you start talking about unity, the first thing out their mouth is that you know black people cannot unify. You know black people can't help each other, won't help each other. You know they will hurt each other before they'll help each other. Well, that kind of mentality and that kind of event or that kind of situation has been cultivated into you and processed into you and frightened into you. It's time to wake up and start helping each other and loving each other, and you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it until you get strong. And see, it'll take a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 generations of strength. I'm 70 years old, pretty much. And I remember when people had more strength. But in the last couple of generations, you've seen that strength dissipate, evaporate, disappear. Because people stop doing the things that give strength. Stop doing the things that gives power. Stop doing the things, they've stopped doing the things that create establishment, strength, ability, skills. No education, you can't be skillful without education. You can't do things collectively without education. If 20 people know the same plan, then you can construct something because they all know what to do. But if everybody's got their own opinion, everybody's got their own plan, everybody's got their own willingness or unwillingness to do things this way, that way, this way, that way, you can have nothing but what it is, confusion, chaos, madness, failure. That's what you're going to have. So we've got to practice strength and practice. We have to get knowledge and practice that knowledge. Be true to a plan. Establish a plan. Map out a plan. Write down a plan. And the things that we can agree on, start with those first and get busy. Haven't you ever wondered why other races are so strong? Well, that's why they're strong, because they have knowledge and they use the knowledge to come up with a plan. They agree on the things that they're going to do with the plan, and they all do it. They all know the plan. They use the plan, and they use it over and over and over, and they don't change anything lightly or easily. They stick with the plan, stick with the plan, stick with the plan, and they'll have success for generation after generation after generation. I've seen where their little children, as soon as they can walk or whatever, they'll start sweeping up and trying to build something just like they see their parents doing. It's in their genes now. You can comb your hair and brush your hair so much until it will actually become trained. It will actually flow or lay down in the direction that you're brushing it or combing it. I hope that makes sense, brothers and sisters. These people have stuck together for 20, 30, 40, 50, hundreds of generations. That's why they have success. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The Jews and the Chinese brag about that they have roots in the beginning of man's existence, especially when they're claiming glory and honor and power. These people have so many generations that have helped each other and connected with each other, what they call linked chains. They have done that so long until they actually, the Jews and the Chinese, can actually brag. There's just a couple of the groups. Others, you have other groups in the world who have a great history, a long history. But they actually brag about that they have roots that go back to the beginning of man's existence. Well, I'm here to tell you the only ones who truly have roots and are in living inside of the roots of the beginning of man's existence are those who follow the messengers of Almighty God, those who obey the laws of Almighty God. Those are the people who are still connected with Adam, to the nature that Adam had. Adam worshipped nothing and no one except the one who made him. And we call that being Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's who Adam owed everything to, and that's who we owe everything to. Other people, they are automatically connected to each other because they practiced their plan for so long until it's in their very genes. They don't even have to go and look up the plan anymore because that's the way their culture has been performing and acting for hundreds and hundreds and in some cases thousands of years. Allah made us no different. We just now have to start doing it. We have to start doing something. We have to have a plan, and we have to follow a plan, and we have to keep following that plan forever. We don't have to go and look for something. All we have to do is open up the Holy Quran, because the plan for how to live the most successful life that exists is in there. And the model for how to do it is in the prophet called Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, the most successful human being that ever lived, the most successful mission of any messenger that ever lived, even more successful than Moses's mission, even more successful than Jesus's mission, even more successful than Adam's or Noah's or David or any Solomon, any of those messengers. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, is called Khair Mursaleen, which means the best of all of the messengers. He is the best. He had the best mission. He had the most successful mission. He had the completed mission. There is no more revelation to come after him, no more need for any prophets to come after him, because we have the completed book, the final book in the revelation that Allah sent to him. And that book, we have it now in our hands. It didn't come at first in book form. They had to put it in book form during his life. But now we have it. It's in book form. It's in the form as it was revealed to him, and it has never been changed. And it has no flaws in it, no doubts in it, no problems in the Holy Quran. So when you read it, you don't have to worry about next week or next month or next year, the knowledge being different. That plan is straight from Allah, and that plan is forever, and that plan will never change. Once you learn that plan, or live any part of that plan, you are improving yourself. You are giving yourself over to excellence. And you are forbidden to obey anything that is not excellence. So you will not let the oppressor oppress you anymore. You will not let the evil ones have your ear. You will not give service to criminals. Crime will break down. Gambling will break down. Murder will break down. Allah says of those people during that time of Abraham and Lot, peace be upon them, that they were addicted to crime. And one of the terrible crimes that they were addicted to was homosexuality. And that's what these evil ones are promoting today. But if you want to see homosexuality break down, if you want to see crime, the crime of gambling break down, if you want to see the drugs break down and the drug dealers and smugglers and all their networks break down and the alcohol distributors, the tobacco growers and all these people, you want to see things change, let enough people become sincere to Allah. Let enough people obey Allah. Excuse me. Let enough people work for Allah. Let enough people work for the change that is the reality. We need to change from the corruption, throw away the corruption, ask Allah for forgiveness, and we need to accept reality and live reality, the real reality. When we live the real reality, which is doing good to others, when we live the real reality, which is not letting falsehood take us over, oh, you're going to see the corruption die. You're going to see it die just like in that movie where they show the sunlight hitting the vampire and he disintegrate. You're going to see the corruption disintegrate if the people will obey Allah. If enough people obey Allah, you're going to see. And if the few people who are strong enough hold their ground and keep teaching this message and keep being sincere to Allah and keep believing that Allah will help us and is helping us, if even the few do that, you'll still see corruption break down in time. All praise to Allah. So we're going to stop here, brothers and sisters. We have a little bit more to go, but we're going to take the break that Muslims are ordered to take during the Jumu'ah talk, and just for a brief moment. It's a rest for the speaker. So we're going to stop just for a moment. Stay on the line, please. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We thank Allah for His guidance and His mercy, and we thank Him for giving us the opportunity to express ourselves, and we are here to say Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And that means that we ask Allah's mercy and forgiveness, and we praise Him, and we ask that Allah sends His choicest blessings upon Muhammad, the best of all of the messengers, and his family and his companions, and all of the believers the world over. So we are in our talk today, our Jumu'ah. This is September 21st, 2018. So we have to get to where we understand that al-Islam makes you gain, not lose. It makes you gain, not lose. You gain spirit, you don't lose spirit. You gain riches, you gain power, knowledge, understanding. We have to stop spending time and money on the corrupt people of the world. We're putting our time and our money into the hands of the people who despise us. We're making them rich. It's a miserable situation because you have people who they are making rich drug dealers. They are making rich the alcohol industry and dealers. They're making rich the gambling industry. And they are causing great harm to mankind. We have to get in the habit of being very selective purchasers of products, selective purchasers of life. Allah says we have life, and we even call it the language of, I'm spending my life. I'm spending my life. So you have to spend your life or use your life wisely. You need to live in your needs, not in your wants. Don't be an emotional person who's just hypnotized by the glitter, the glamour and the glitter. A lady passed by and because she's got a big behind or something, oh, you just lose your mind. And you hear guys saying things all the time. That's why a lot of them get in trouble, talking about her anatomy, her body and all that. But he doesn't want to be a father to bring indecent children and care for them, give them wealth or improve them so that this generation is connected to the next generation and so on and so forth, or instruct them in ways of how to excel in life. We have to stop spending our time and our money. We have to stop spending our life on trinkets and craziness. And we have to invest. That means get in there and with a plan and insert ourselves in life in such a way that we get something out of it now and in the future. That we are planting hope for the future by doing good things and important things, intelligent things, productive things today. That makes all the sense in the world. So we don't want to be people who lose their mind. We want to gain mind. We want to gain spirit. We want to gain riches, opportunity. We want to gain in our spending. Allah's love will purify your sight. Very few devils will escape your detection if your sight is purified by the knowledge that is in the Holy Quran and in the guidance of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and how he lived the Holy Quran. So Al-Islam will purify your sight. It will strengthen your sight. It will increase your sight. It will guide your sight so that you'll be a person where your mentality, your mind, your inner sight, your inner vision, your long-term vision, your daily vision, it will be so strong that very few evil acts or very few devilish ways and devilish people will escape your detection. You'll spot them. They will not escape your powerful sight, inside or out. Your insight will be lit up with Allah's knowledge of truth. Your insight, your vision, your thinking will be lit up with truth, and that is the greatest sight. It doesn't matter if the devil is, if it's a devil country or a devil person. It doesn't matter if it's devil priest. You will be lifted up to Allah to see with Allah's sight. Allah says that when the believer believes in him alone, believes in him, when you believe in Allah, Allah takes over your sight. He said that he will be the hand that you strike with. He will be the sight that you're seeing with. He'll be the feet that you're walking with. He'll be the voice that you're speaking with. This is not just our khutbah that we're saying this. This is Allah's promise. He promises that you will see with like he tells you to see. He promises that you will think like he teaches you to think. Get the Holy Quran. That is the mind of Allah. Put it inside your head by reading and listening to it, brothers and sisters, and living it. The Quran is a book that was revealed And it says, Ikra bismi rabbika ladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Read with the name of your Lord. Read with Allah's power and capacity to the best of your ability. Any small amount of what Allah gives you is bigger and more important than all of the world. Yes. So see with the sight that Allah lets you see with. See, the world has part knowledge or material knowledge. We call it dunya. It's got finite. It only goes so far. The world's got finite knowledge. Allah has infinite knowledge, eternal knowledge, divine knowledge. So when he gives you something of his own spirit, and that's what he promised, that's what he put in Adam. When Allah gives you something of his own spirit and you accept his spirit through the Holy Quran, through prayer and obedience to Allah, through calling on Allah and praying to Allah and giving your whole self to Allah, that you are taking on Allah's spirit. When he gives you that, you are no longer stuck in the finite world or the material world. It becomes a small thing while you're being lifted up and raised up and guided by the infinite and the greatest of things. Allah has an attribute. We say he is Al-Khabir. He is Al-Kabir. He is the greatest. He is great. We say Allahu Akbar, that he is more important and greater than anything or anyone. That's what you are inheriting as a servant of Allah. You are inheriting something that is so much greater than what you think. And we be thinking, oh, I know this, I know that, I got this, I got that. You can never be greater than Allah, and you will never be greater than the world unless Allah makes you greater than the world. And that is why he has made you, so that you will be bigger and better and strong enough to handle the material world. And it will be beneath you. You've got your part of the material world, which is your own body and your share of your daily life and society. But Allah wants to take you up so that you live forever. And you get that by obeying him, by praying to him, by remembering him, by giving in charity, by making your prayers, by giving in your zakat, by fasting for Allah, believing in Allah, holding on to his Quran. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, was called the Quran walking. When you see him, his wife said, you see the Quran. When you look at him, you're looking at the Quran. That's what needs to happen for us, brothers and sisters. Open your Quran, read your Quran, believe in Allah, and live the Muslim life forever. We're going to stop here. We have many, many more things to say. We worship Allah wa adada kalimatihi. And we worship Allah by every word that he has made, that he has created. We worship Allah. We're told to worship Allah that way. So we never will run out of things to say about Allah and things and words of praise for Allah. Alhamdulillah. We're going to close. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And that means Allah and his angels do salute Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. And we, O you believe, do you likewise, and salute him with a great salute. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes, and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala ali Muhammad kama baraka ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. And that is, our Lord, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Ibrahim and his family. And our Lord, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Abraham and his family, for surely you are praised and magnified. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement of the hellfire. Amen. Aqimus salat.
Sadaqallah, believe me, I speak the truth in the Holy Quran.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. Qad qama al-salah, qad qama al-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من عزلة والناس الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله سبحان 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 الله الحمد لله 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 الله أكبر 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 And brothers and sisters, that means highly glorified is Allah. And then we say all praises due to Allah. And then we say Allah is greater and more important than anything, respectively. So we're going to close with the dua. I will give the name of Shaitan al-Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful. Malik Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Thee alone do we worship and thee alone whose aid we seek. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Show us the straight way. Sirata al-ladina an'amta alayhim. The way of those upon whom you have bestowed the grace and favor. Raya al-mabdubi alayhim wa la'dorin. Ameen. Not the way of those upon whom your wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum. Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you joining us today. We ask Allah's blessings and mercy be upon all of the believers the world over. And we ask that all of those who are sick and shut in, that we make dua for them, and that Allah will bless them to get back on their feet soon and with more strength. And then we ask Allah's blessing upon those who are in the graves and who have passed on, and who we ask Allah forgive them, have mercy upon them, and admit them to paradise. And brothers and sisters, we ask that we work hard in unity, and we encourage the brothers and sisters to get married, and do not be afraid to check the perversion registries and stuff to make sure that you're marrying a person who's not involved in homosexuality or child abuse or any of those things, like we find out that some of the religious leaders of these other groups are involved in, and that they're pedophiles and stuff. So check the child registries and those registries for pedophiles. I forget the name of it. And make sure you can see where you're going. And people that are not acting right, you make sure and talk to the imam and the sheikh, and go and have a meeting. Brothers and sisters, go have a meeting and make sure that you're not getting involved with criminals and child abusers and all that. We're not trying to fill the masjid up with people who don't want to act right and who may beat our sisters half to death or be bank robbers and drug dealers and gangsters, people who think they're a thug. So be very careful with the people today. But the main one that they're really working on now is the drug dealers and the homosexuals. So make sure that you're not marrying and getting involved with letting your daughters or your sisters or your moms marry people who are involved in crimes, sexual crimes, and drugs, and murder, and robbery, and all those things. So don't be afraid to Google their name on the internet and check out what's going on with them, and ask around, you know, do some investigation. Don't be afraid to do that. So may Allah bless each and every one of us, and inshallah, we'll speak to you soon. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.